and books of piety. Books I keep repeating with shiny in the letters. Love God, love Him, put away all fear of God. There is talk about excess, if you're of God. So we are, and I mean this, told by alleged masters of the spiritual life to avoid fear and concentrate on love. But I'm still on the introduction. This is not, I don't say good Christianity, it is not even Christianity. We must both fear God's justice and love God's goodness. As we open this meditation, let's be clear, the same God is both infinite love and infinite justice. Before we go on, let's make sure we know what kind of fear the fear of the Lord is. First of all, there was a natural fear we all have, just because we are human beings. Fear is a spontaneous dread of some future evil. I repeat, the spontaneous dread of some future evil. And then basic definition, we first of all, understandably, fear as a child learns very quickly. Fear, well, getting too close to a fire. Fear of getting too close to a water, especially if you cannot swim. We naturally fear that we don't get enough rest. You'll be tired. And I've said how many times by now, I'm under orders to get 6 hours of sleep. You're afraid we don't eat, pardon me, eat enough. I don't think we're to starve, but it will not be comfortable. And already from childhood, we know we should fear certain people. The most spontaneous fear of a human being is fear in the body, bodily fear. In fact, this bodily fear we have even in common with the animals. We go one step higher. They are to have fear, not only in our bodies, but in our souls. Fear is in the wheel. The wheel, spontaneously avoiding certain things which our mind tells the wheel would be dangerous. We naturally fear to be punished what we've done wrong. I think I've said this to some of you on one occasion at least. The father of a large family in Virginia. His daughter misbehaved. He spanked her. Very kind person. The daughter told her teacher. The teacher told the school counselor. The school counselor called the police. The police arrested the father. Let's be sure we know there is such a thing, and I'm still on the base level of human nature. There is justifiable fear. Now, justifiable because there are not just physical, sensibly perceptible things we are to fear. We are to fear especially fear for the good of our souls. In regard to justice, is such a crucial attribute that needs to be brought to the surface in our so widely, shall I use the word, double-edged. Now, on the level of the spiritual life, there is a fear of God's punishments, which we should all have. Well, let's be clear, that fear of God's punishments can be not only inadequate, can be positively wrong. What are you saying? We ought to serve God not only because we fear His punishments. We teach in theology that one big difference between receiving absolution and the sacrament of confession and being enacted with the perfect love of God. It also emits even grave sin, is that we can receive valid absolution even though I am afraid of God's punishments. But watch it. Even the fear of God's punishments must somehow be related to my love for God. In other words, our faith tells us to avoid sin only because I fear the punishment of God. Is inadequate. Indeed, is wrong. Consequently, when we speak of the fear of the Lord, you're not speaking even of the justifiable fear of God's punishments. I say justifiable where I fear God's punishments because I believe that He loves me. And God has a right to demand the submission of my will to His divine will. That is a background. Now, we have to ask ourselves always the first question, what is the gift of the fear of the Lord? To to explain what the fear of the Lord is, he must first recognize that there is a legitimate fear of God, of God's justice. God is the Lord, and the Lord, he has a right to demand. And because he is God, he has a right to punish. And herein, the most severe punishment for sin is not the pain, which we call penalty. The most serious punishment from God for sin is the deprivation of grace. Every sin we commit, depending on his gravity, always, and after his own faith, always deprives us of more or less of the grace we had before we sinned. Consequently, let's be clear. God punishes in two ways. By withdrawing his grace, which, as we know, means guilt. We incur guilt because we've lost grace. God, remember, and this is our faith. Say the Lord, I love those who love me. As God loves sinners, he does. But he withdraws more or less of his love in the measure of our sins. And the withdrawal of God's love from sinners is the church's definition of guilt. It has nothing, zero, to do with how we feel. But secondly, God also punishes our sins by imposing his penalty. And here, imposing an obligation to suffer pain. Please don't forget, sin and pain go together as cause and effect. His own faith. Had there been no sin in the world, there would have been no pain. It does not mean, how this needs to be explained, when those who suffer the most have sinned the most. No, there was such a thing as suffering for the sins of others. And the one who suffered the most, the absolutely sinless Son of God who became man, but noticed he suffered and went pain because of sin. Fear of the Lord is, they call it, a salutary fear. It is a powerful motive for avoiding sin. It is adequate for what we call attrition or sacramental absolution. In the sacrament of confession, all we need is what we don't have, hours of time to explain in detail. At the heart of this fear of the Lord, at the heart of this funeral ward is not fearing God's punishments. They want to repeat. There is a sanitary fear of God's punishments. And it, I repeat, is sufficient for obtaining absolution in the sacrament of penance. However, this gift of the Holy Spirit, the Timor Domini, is not the fear of God's punishments. It is the fear of offending a loving God. That's what this gift is all about. The gift of fear is the love of God. So deep, so strong, that the towering fear in our lives should be. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to have this fear, to offend the God who loves us so deeply, so dearly. He died on the cross out of love for us. So you might fear, and now let's be clear, fear to offend him. Take our own lifetime experience. The more deeply we love someone, the more spontaneously we fear to offend the one we love. We have said something that afterwards see to ourselves, how stupid of me. Go back to the person and apologize. And the person may even have forgotten what we said. The most spontaneous response to authentic love is the fear of offending the one we claim to love. And let's be clear. We speak because we are human beings, we have only a human language. We speak of the fear of offending God. We cannot mean the fear of somehow hurting God. Although, hear it, God assumed a human nature so you could experience pain. But God is God, cannot, because he is infinitely perfect and all happy divine being. And this is where, and I could talk now for hours. You see, more before this meditation is over, there's one way we are to grow in our loving fear of God. It is meditation on the Passion of Christ. Over the centuries, saints have spent years, like the Saint Paul of the Cross or Saint John of the Cross, years in meditating on the Passion of Christ. God knows how stupid we are, how blind we can be to the consequence of our sin. That is one reason why God became man. He might be able to show us how deeply God is offended. God became man to experience pain, to teach us how deeply sin offends the infinite God. You are dealing with mystery. Have you said this by now? All that works. A mystery, by definition, is something inconceivable before revelation and incomprehensible after being revealed. You're dealing with mystery, the mystery of sin, the mystery of God conferring on his human creatures. Is it possible? Conferring on his human creatures the power to say no to the Creator. You don't explain that. You believe it. And the consequence, to use that expression, the consequence on our part when we sin is to offend God. God is God, cannot be hurt. God is God, cannot suffer. God is God, cannot experience pain. That is why I repeat, one of the main reasons God became man is to teach us how deeply offensive sin is to God. Sin is contrary to the will of God. I repeat, you're dealing with mystery. When we sin and offend God, we do not harm God. We do not hurt God. We do not deprive God of something of his divine infinity. And this is the essence of the timor domini, the fear of the Lord. It is such deep love for God that we do not want to do anything which is contrary to his divine will. Now, second area of our reflections, the necessity for having his gift of the Holy Spirit. As I've been saying the last 3 days, the focus of the spiritual exercises, as conceived by St. Ignatius, is not, I would say, not only, it is not to, keep people from losing their souls. Over the years, I have never preached what we call a parish mission. You have wonderful Franciscans who preach missions. Wonderful. But St. Ignatius' focus, and for us the focus of this retreat, is two things. First, an assumption. The assumption is that the ones who are making the spiritual exercises are already sincerely striving to avoid sinning, especially sinning gravely. That's the assumption. Well, then secondly, the purpose of the Ignatian Retreat is to inspire people to sanctity. And as I've said over the years, the heart of sanctity is, in one word, more. To do more than we've ever done before in our lives. To give up more than we've ever given up in our lives until now. Which consists in two words, generosity in giving and sacrifice in giving up. Either you are inspired, dear Lord, not by this sinner, but by Jesus Christ, who the Spirit that dwells in you. Either you are inspired to be more generous with God and more sacrificing, or repeat, I'm wasting your time. We are here meditating on how we can do more for God than we are obliged to do. In order that we might be more effective instruments of His grace to others, we do not forget the finality. The purpose of a retreat does not end with ourselves. No. Capital N, capital O, followed by an exclamation mark. No. The purpose of making the retreat is indeed we might become more holy so that then we might be more effective channels of God's grace to others. You to your wives, your married men, and your children. Channels of grace more effective to everyone whose life you touch. Hear it. We have a grave obligation to be conduits of grace to other people. As others, thank God, have been conduits of grace to us. And the measure of our being channels of God's grace to others, you name the virtue. Patience, humility, prayerfulness, charity, chastity. You'll be, and I keep repeating, only as effective communicators of God's grace to others as we possess those virtues ourselves. And no one cheats here. The gift of the fear of the Lord, in spite of its strange wording, is a loving concern. Get the word concern. To please God by avoiding the least sin in our lives. And I repeat, not because we fear God's punishments, which we should. But that is not the timor domini. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the divinely infused gift inspiring us to seek to please God in everything and avoid displeasing Him in anything, pleasing Him in everything and avoid displeasing Him in anything. na raison, na qui era Marx, a treasury of sanctity, is to know ourselves, know our tendencies of God, know our urges I must control, including my natural fears. As we have a strong, powerful fear of God, guess what? We are to give in to our fear of other people. How we dread. Well, may I don't say discarded by another person. How we dread even to, sometimes in some trivial matter, displease another person. I never tire saying what slaves, and I mean this, by our nature, we're all slaves of human respect, the fear of other people, not just the fear of what they may do to us, not even just the fear of what they may say either to us or about us. Can you imagine? We are even afraid of what people will think of us. Talk about slavery. Believe you me, I'm talking from experience. I have to every day examine my conscience on where and how I have given in to human respect. They go on. You're talking about the need of responding to this precious gift of the fear of the Lord. But I'm going to say, may surprise you. This fear of the Lord is not only fear of the Lord, fear of offending God ourselves. His fear of the Lord is also an apostolic fear. We are to fear for others. We are to be concerned for the salvation of others. And we need to say at least a few words about the need for reparation, the need for expiation. I like Teresa of Avila's definition of expiation. She says expiation is substitution. What's she talking about? We expiate the sins of others by substituting in our lives what they are not doing in theirs. Going beyond what we have to do to obtain God's mercy for the sinners and being with our own, maybe members of our own family. I've said this before. Mother and father I have interviewed in Chicago. They told me we have had 7 children, all raised as Catholics, all sent to professedly Catholic schools. All 7 have left their Catholic faith. Maybe repeat This fear of the Lord is also an apostolic fear. Fear for, first of all, the salvation of others. Fear for others who are not serving God as faithfully as they should. What does this apostolic dimension of the fear of the Lord mean? It means laboring. Turn of others to the grace of God which they've lost by living in sin. Laboring for the return of apostate Catholics. Should I say it? Apostate priests. Should I even say apostate bishops? Is this fear of the Lord. It should inspire our zeal, and I'm not exaggerating in saying, in exhausting ourselves and serving God, not only because we don't want to offend Him, but because we want to expiate the sins of others obtained from God's mercy what as sinners they do not deserve. I mean this when I say it. One of the fruits of this retreat should be to resolve to live a life of reparation. A life of expiation. And the Church distinguishes reparation from expiation. Reparation is making up for the evil that other people have done by their sins, the harm they've caused, the families they've broken. The hearts that have killed. Reparation. Expiation. Expiation is to recover the grace lost by sin. We are speaking of the apostolic dimension of this wonderful gift of the fear of the Lord. Our faith tells us no sin gets away with it, period. And over the centuries, some of the Church's greatest saints have lived lives of expiation, living lives far beyond the will of how to live, just to save and even sanctify themselves. Living as we are in a society, what word shall I use? That has been deluged by sin. How we need to put this gift of the fear of the Lord into apostolic practice. How to cultivate this gift of the fear of the Lord. There are two kinds therefore there are two kinds of peace, which is to replace these fears. There is fear of the mind and fear of the heart. How do we cultivate peace of mind and peace of heart to replace the spontaneous fear that we have as sinners living in a sinful world? We must cultivate peace of soul on the two levels of peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace of mind. Peace of mind, as I've said so often, is the experience of knowing the truth. And the one truth we better know and understand and grow in our understanding of is that God is merciful. I know what I'm talking about. 51 years plus 3 weeks in the priesthood. I know how spontaneously fearful we are, we sinners, as you and me. To cultivate this peace of mind, we must, and I mean this, put away from our minds every time our minds distress us, make us worried, make us discouraged, and even tempt us to despair. Discouragement over our own past lives. Discouragement over the sinful ocean of, what shall we call it, crimes against the Divine Majesty. In order to cultivate this fear of the Lord, which remember is the kind of fear which is inspired by such love for God that we do not in the least want to offend Him. Not because we dread His punishments, but because we love Him. How we need, all of us, to keep reminding ourselves. And reminding, by the way, is reminding ourselves of the mercy of God. I recommend being the lives you remember of saints, especially of the big sinners. I cannot tell you what valuable has been over the years the confessions of St. Augustine in my life. And St. Ignatius was a big, common, big sinner. Before he established the Society of Jesus, he had to provide for at least one child that he conceived, needed to say, out of wedlock. We need to be convinced in mind that God is merciful. Over the years, How many people have asked me, especially my own fellow Jesuits, and teaching them theology? See, they tell me it does not make sense. I tell them, that's your problem. God must have had, and does have, a profoundly deep reason, or as we kindly say, allowing sin. This is our faith. How do we cultivate and grow in this priceless gift of the fear of the Lord? By becoming daily more convinced that God is merciful. As far as our human minds can understand, God allows sin so we'll be able to practice mercy. Do you hear me? Even we can practice mercy only to someone who has been unjust to us. Mercy is love repaying injustice. Am I clear? How we need to deeply, clearly strengthen our faith. I'm talking about peace of mind. Peace of heart. Peace of heart is the experience of doing God's will. And the depth of that experience depends on the degree of our doing God's will. You might say, Father, enough is enough. You've said this before. We shall cultivate this gift of fear in others, growing in our love for God by not only avoiding sin, but doing things that will please God, which we're not obliged to avoid when they're bad, or do good because we are commanded to do so. I beg you, ask the Holy Spirit before this retreat closes and put it in writing. Everyone get a copy of Writing of the Spiritual Life? Put it down. Write it out. What more do I promise God to do for you? What do I promise to give up? Not because I have to avoid sin, but because I love Him. I assure you, your peace of heart will grow by leaps and bounds. You will grow in this. I keep calling it the priceless gift of the fear of the Lord. One more closing recommendation on how to cultivate and grow in this gift of Timor Domini. And that is by going to the sacrament of confession frequently. Frequent confession, the Church, Pope Paul VI defined what frequent confession means. It means every 2 weeks. Anyone who dies is a perishing in. We have a hard time finding a priest, especially if you've been there 2 weeks ago. What? You back again? Over the years, I have told priests, especially when I give them retreats, you hear confessions as often as possible, for as long as possible. One more recommended reading to all of you. The Life of the Curate of Ars. As you know, his name was John Theoni. And I even give you the best biography. The Curie of Ars is by the French Benoiteur Trochu, T-R-O-C-H-U. T-R-O-C-H-U. Trochu. The biography is based on the process of canonization of the Curie of Ars. Trochu had access to the most secret archives and allowed to use them on the green books I've read over the years. Closing comment. Go to confession frequently. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the fear of the Lord. Enlighten our minds to know you, our merciful God. Deepen our love for you to give you in the years to come not only what you demand of us under sin, but whatever would please you, because we love you. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.